Many Americans with disabilities do not trust doctors. There is a long history of the medical system thinking disabled lives have less value. So when the coronavirus pandemic began, many people with disabilities worried if there were shortages of hospital beds or drugs or equipment like ventilators, maybe doctors would deny life-saving treatment to the elderly and people with disabilities. NPR investigative correspondent Joseph Shapiro found denial of care is a real problem. And that as hospitalizations spike, there are lessons from one woman's case in Oregon.
When someone took a picture of Sarah McSweeney, she'd look right at the camera and she'd smile or laugh, like the photograph where she's sticking out her tongue. Her dark hair is dyed a bright red, a color that clashed with her neon pink wheelchair. McSweeney was 45 when she died last spring in an Oregon hospital.
Sarah enjoyed lots of stuff in her life. She absolutely adored going into malls and getting her makeup done and getting her hair done and doing, you know, the typical girly stuff that girls like to do and get pedicures and manicures. She really enjoyed going out to country concerts. Her staff would take her to the country bars to watch people country dance.
That's Kimberly Conger. She worked for Sarah. Most people looked at Sarah McSweeney and saw her disabilities. She couldn't walk. She couldn't speak words.
She had congenital quadriplegia. She had osteoporosis. She had cerebral palsy.
Conger is a nurse for Community Access Services. That's the social service agency that ran Sarah's group home.
She had a gastrostomy tube.
That's the feeding tube to Sarah's stomach.
She could eat nothing by mouth. She had some scoliosis.
Could she operate a power wheelchair?
She could not.
So how did she get around?
She was dependent on staff to push her.
To push her, okay. Yeah. And how did she communicate?
She communicated with eye movements, facial expressions, noises, certain noises she would give you.
We're telling you the story of this woman in Oregon because it tells a bigger story, one that we've seen repeated in our reporting and our public records requests. We found multiple cases in Oregon and around the country where people with disabilities and older people were denied treatment. NPR reviewed hospital medical records that raised questions about the care Sarah McSweeney got and didn't get.
I got a phone call on the 21st, the morning of the 21st, that Sarah had woke up with a fever of 103.
That's Conger, the nurse. She says staff at the group home in Oregon City, Oregon, worried that McSweeney's fever was a symptom of COVID-19.
And they gave her some Tylenol to bring it down, and it continued to climb. So we took her over to the emergency room.
In the ER, the doctor diagnosed a urinary tract infection. X-rays would show some fluid in her lungs, a small pneumonia. To be careful, McSweeney was moved to the ICU. Later tests would show no COVID. The ER doctor called Heidi Barnett, who helped McSweeney make decisions about things like medical care. Barnett says the doctor didn't like a decision that the disabled woman made about the medical care she wanted.
We had her at full code, so all treatment, because she was young and vibrant and had a great life.
Those wishes had been written up in a legal document that went with Sarah to the hospital.
And that was her wishes. That's right. What we gathered from her is that she wanted to be alive.
The doctor wanted to change the order.
They wanted it to be a DNR.
A DNR, a do not resuscitate order. That's a medical order to doctors to not treat a patient, like Sarah, if she stops breathing or her heart stops. Later, there'd be testimony before the state legislature about how the hospital pushed for a DNR for McSweeney. Barnett had said, no, that's not what Sarah wants. She figured that was the end of it. But it wasn't. A few days later, another doctor called. He said it was urgent. Kimberly Conger, the group home nurse, hurried to the hospital. He showed her the x-ray of Sarah's lung. The doctor said it was blocked with fluid and that Sarah needed to be on a ventilator. Conger agreed because that's standard treatment, what a hospital would do for anyone.
And we discussed the possibility of her being intubated and letting that lung rest and, you know, giving her time to heal and let the antibiotics do their magic.
But then the doctor pushed to limit care for Sarah.
And he said intubating her was a matter of risk versus quality of life. And I kind of looked at him and I was like, but she has quality of life. And he looked at me and goes, oh, she can walk and talk? And yeah, he did this.
You just lifted your fingers up and did the little Yellow Pages walking thing.
The old Yellow Pages TV ad with fingers in a walking motion.
That's exactly what he did to me. And I said, well, no, but there's, you know, lots of people who don't walk who have full quality of life. And he gets kind of irritated with me and left the room at that point.
Conger called her bosses, the women who were in charge of Sarah's care. One of them later testified before the state legislature about this incident. McSweeney's caregivers decided to file a formal complaint with the hospital. Sarah, it said, wasn't being seen as a whole person. That's the way Conger put it. We made multiple requests to speak to officials at the hospital, but they declined. Doctors save lives. They cure people. They help them get better. Doctors sometimes see a person like Sarah McSweeney with multiple lifelong disabilities as someone with a lesser quality of life. That's not how her advocates saw her. When McSweeney said she wanted to work, maybe as a greeter in one of those stores in the mall she loved, Susan Gustafson, a veteran at Community Access Services, said, okay, let's figure it out.
She used a voice output device called a Dynavox.
Sarah got trained on how to use a voice machine that would speak for her.
Light bulbs in aisle 7.
Gustafson told the medical staff at the hospital about it. And when they asked, why does this disabled woman have medical orders for a full code? She explained something else. McSweeney wasn't afraid of being on a ventilator.
And I did say that Sarah has friends who are vent dependent 24 hours a day.
They went with her to the mall, to the movies.
That is a norm for Sarah. That is not extraordinary. It was definitely received as extraordinary from the hospital staff. They were blown away.
After Sarah's agency filed the complaint with the hospital, one thing changed. Staff at the hospital started calling with regular updates. Emily Brayman runs the guardianship program for the Arc of Oregon. That's the agency that had long been Sarah's guardian.
We were getting notified that it sounded like she was getting better, that things weren't that bad, that she was pretty status quo.
Brayman thought McSweeney was about to come home.
And then all of a sudden, we got a call that it's dire straits.
Dire straits, because Sarah McSweeney's lungs were failing. Sarah's staff says they were not told about repeated instances of aspiration pneumonia, where the nutrition through her feeding tube had backed up into her lungs. She'd been in the hospital almost 3 weeks. On Saturday, May 9th, Barnett, the staffer who helped with Sarah's medical decisions, and Conger, the group home nurse, got called to the hospital.
We're standing there in the room waiting for the doctor to be paged and to come into the room. The case manager came up and she really didn't even say hi. She just said, so I'm under the impression that Sarah was going to go for employment and she used to go get her hair done. I said, yeah, she loved to go get her hair done. And she just finished Discovery for employment.
Discovery was the program that was helping McSweeney figure out a way to use that voice computer and find a job.
And she looked at me and she pointed to Sarah and she's like, her. She used to get her hair done and she was going to be employed. I was like, yes. I mean, it was gross.
Yeah. And then she said, well, what kind of employment do you think she could do?
Said this in front of Sarah.
In front of Sarah.
Yeah.
Did Sarah hear that?
She heard all that and she understood it.
Heidi Barnett could see that Sarah, in her hospital bed, was listening. Sarah used her eyes to communicate, and now her eyes followed the case manager and then her friends when each spoke.
She had a very worried look on her face, and it just broke my heart.
Doctors and hospital social workers had questioned why this disabled woman should be given full care. Her advocates had pushed back. Now Conger could see the treatment in the hospital was not working.
Sarah was desperately trying to communicate something. There was no smiles. Mm-hmm. It was mouth wide open, arms clenched up, tears running down her eyes.
And she was in distress.
She was struggling to get air. And you could just see the panic and fear in her eyes. She would rest for a few minutes, take a nice calm breath for a minute, close her eyes, and then just wake up in absolute fear. She could not take a breath.
Now, Conger and Barnett agreed with the hospital team. It was time to start end-of-life comfort care for Sarah. Hours later on Sunday morning, a phone call woke up Barnett at her home.
The charge nurse just called me at about 3:30 in the morning and said, I'm sorry to inform you that Sarah passed away.
Sarah McSweeney didn't die of COVID-19. She was tested twice and the results were negative. She died of aspiration pneumonia. That's a serious medical condition, but usually it's treatable. A doctor had told Kimberly Conger that Sarah needed to go back to the ICU. It didn't happen. That she needed to be put on a ventilator, but then she wasn't. The issue wasn't a shortage of ventilators. Oregon was sending ventilators to New York.
I don't feel like and this is my personal opinion, I feel like they didn't feel like she was worth that.
We asked the hospital. A spokesperson for Providence Willamette Falls Medical Center said, "We are not able to comment on the care of a specific patient," and added, "We are committed to providing compassionate, appropriate, and excellent care to all who come to us without regard to ability or disability." In reporting on Sarah McSweeney, NPR found other cases in Oregon where people with disabilities and elderly people were denied hospital care or pressured to sign a do not resuscitate order. We'll tell you more about those cases in another report.
He was so happy and goofy and funny.
The last word about Sarah McSweeney goes to Heidi Barnett, who helped McSweeney make decisions about what she wanted in her life.
I was lucky to know her for the last 3 years, and I got to know her and how she communicates and what's important to her and how she jokes around. And I used to tease her that she was a princess and I was going to buy her a tiara, you know, and and she would laugh, you know, and she was so much fun. And even though she had these medical issues, she was vivacious. She just lived her life and she was a beautiful person. Right. And it just, sorry, I just think she could have gone out better. They owed her more respect than she got.
Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.